do ask an interest in your prayers tonight as I stand before you, thankful for your presence here. And I pray the Lord will manifest his presence to us tonight, as Brother Terry has asked for that. We do also pray that he would give me liberty to speak, and you an ear to hear and an eye to see and a heart to understand the spiritual things of God. I'd like to read to you tonight from the writings of David in the 139th division of the Psalms, Psalm 139. I'm going to read the entirety of the psalm in your hearing tonight, and then follow the Lord, leadership of the Lord. I realize we've taken a lot of time talking about the things that we stand in need of in a way of prayer. Spend good time singing, good time talking to one another about the things that are going on in our lives. We should be aware of that. We should know about the needs of our brothers and sisters in the church. And we certainly are, though we hear bad news and are saddened by it, we're not like those who have no hope, because we have a Lord to look to and depend upon tonight, who is able to take care of cases that are really, all of them really are beyond man and what man can do. Sometimes we hear about those and think kind of a certainty this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And the Lord just surprises us at what he's got in mind when we think this is the way it's going to be and how he can work. I know some folks that a whole lot of people have worried about and thought wasn't going to be here that lived a long time after those that were worrying about them were gone. And I know individuals specifically in my life that the doctors had said there's not anything we can do here, and they're getting along good today. And I know others who seem to be in the perfect health that were just taken in a moment, just here today and gone. And we know one thing, that isn't in their hands. I'm glad it's not. I'm thankful tonight that it's in the, that we're in the hands of an almighty, all-powerful God. And this psalm is really about that. It's about the nature and the character of God. It declares his awesomeness, if you will, his who he is, his majesty, his how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, how mighty he is, how sovereign he is. And all of those things are really, really important in having an understanding of the nature and the character of God to the degree that we can. We can't have a fullness of that. One day we will, but as we live here in this world, we'll continue to grow in that. But it's awesome. It's wonderful and absolutely essential for us to understand how powerful our God is in order to have our doctrine straight and our doctrine correct according to the Bible. Because the doctrine we believe in, the doctrine of grace, salvation is by grace, requires a God who has all power. It's not going to be a weak God who can be the God that has provided salvation in the way that our God has provided salvation. The God of this world, the God that so many men preach, as I heard one brother this morning talk to me, he said he heard a preacher preach this week that that man was created in the image of God, and what we see now is men trying to create God in man's image. And so much of what you hear about a God in this world is, he sounds more like a man of what they're declaring than the God of the Bible. Tonight I want to declare to you from the Bible, the God of the Bible, his nature and his character and who he is. And as we think about that in relationship to who we are, there's a whole lot of comfort and peace that's found. And it's really a declaration of the gospel. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is by inspiration of God, written by David, a man after the Lord's own heart. David, the one who was the little shepherd of the sheep that took care of the bear and the lion, and the one that stood before a Goliath, and the one that took the head off Goliath after he had taken those stones that the Lord had given him, and with a sling and the stone slayed a giant. The one who also, when King Saul came after, responded in a godly way, in a godly manner. And so many things we could point out in the life of David that were good and right. And the Bible even declares him to be a man after the Lord's own heart. A great soldier. I mean, David, you wouldn't have wanted to go into battle against David. David was a mighty soldier. David was one who truly loved the Lord. And yet David also, we know, doesn't have everything recorded in the Bible that's good and right about him. We see David in his time of weakness, and David in temptation, and David fell in sin, transgressed in a horrible way, the things that would have surprised us about David. And we see that David was like us. David was a man who was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and needed the redemption that was given in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not here tonight to worship David, but we're here to certainly talk about the God of David. We're not here tonight to give honor and glory to David. We're to be thankful for David. We're to be thankful for the messages that we get from the writings of David. But above everything tonight, we want to focus on the Lord, who without the Lord, David would have been nothing and was nothing without him. He said in verse 1, he said, Psalm 139, verse 1, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That means God knew David. You know, we know a little bit about David, but we don't know anything about David like God knew about David. We also believe that God knew more about David than David knew about himself. That God's eyes pierced all the way to the dividing asunder of the heart, a discerner of the thoughts in the heart and the intents of the heart. As Hebrews talks about this great high priest that we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's one whose eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. As we read about that in the book of Proverbs, he is the one who discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, even dividing asunder the marrow and the bone. That is the one with whom we have to do. I believe it's over in the book of Hebrews that it tells us that in chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, For the word of God is quick, that is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And just to let us be sure this, we understand this is the living word, verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. I tell you who we're talking about here. We're talking about Jesus. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And who is this? Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. What's his name? Jesus, the Son of God. He says, seeing that, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. David said that this one called Jesus has searched him and known him. That means he knew all about him. Tonight, I believe the Lord knows all about us. As sure as he knew about David, he knows about us. He knows why we're here tonight. He knows what's going on in your life tonight. He knows what's going on in your mind tonight. He knows your heart tonight better than we know our own heart. Remember Jeremiah said the heart of man is what? Deceitful. And what? Desperately wicked. Above all things. And then he goes on and says, who can know it? We know that God knows our heart tonight. He knows where we are. And that is a sobering thought. It's a wonderful thought because he knows all about our sins. And if there was not everything naked and open before God, there might be a sin or something in our life that was hidden unto the Lord that Jesus would not have paid for, that which would have separated us from God. The good news is this. When Jesus died on the cross, he knew exactly who he was dying for. Not only did he know who he was dying for, he knew the sins that they would commit of those as his people. He knew every sin that was necessary and needed to have the price paid for, and he bought us. He redeemed us. We were delivered. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And every one of those offenses, I believe Jesus knew. And the good news about that is he loved us in spite of all of that. He said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again tonight. Right now you're either sitting down or you're standing up. And God knows when we're standing up. God knows when we're sitting down. God knows when we're laid down. God knows us wherever we are, whatever's going on. And the wonderful thing about God is he not only knows this moment, he knows every other moment in our life, all the way back to where we were even conceived in our mother's womb. Not only does he know about the past and that which has happened, he is a God who inhabits eternity. He knows everything about the future. He has all knowledge. He is omniscient, is the word that you'll see sometimes. It's a big, long word. All it just means is God knows everything. He's omniscient. You and I are not omniscient. Matter of fact, we're pretty ignorant. We don't really hardly know what's going on right now. Sometimes we think we know something, and we really don't know it like we ought to know it, do we? And it's wonderful, though, tonight to trust in a God who does know all things. We sang that hymn tonight. I was glad we sang it. Jesus knows. Jesus knows our sorrows. Jesus knows our sadness. Jesus knows when your heart's broken. Jesus knows when you're full of care and concern. Jesus knows when you're worried. Jesus knows when you're hurt. Jesus knows when you're feeling okay. Jesus knows everything that's going on in our life, and he knows it today, and he's always known it in the past, and he always will know it in the future. Isn't it wonderful to have that kind of God tonight, to know that he knows everything that I've ever done? He knows what's going on right now, and he knows everything I'll ever will do. And not only does he know about it, you see, there are many people who say, well, I believe God knows this and he knows that, but he really doesn't do anything. He's kind of like a hands-off. He's like a sees it, you know. And I've mentioned this before. It was a very popular song a while back, From a Distance, that God is watching you from a distance. And, you know, it's got some good parts in it, but it's got a whole lot of parts that's not so good. He is watching you from a distance, but he ain't just from a distance. He, He is actively involved in this passage, if you believe God's word. If you read this passage, and I do believe it tonight, I may not understand all of that, but what I've read in your hearing, I want you to know I believe it. I believe that's God's word. I want to know more about it. I want to understand more about it. I want to be able to be clear in my teaching and what I would say about it. I want to be in accord with God's word. But this is God's word. It's not up for men to change. It's not up for debate. It's the absolute truth coming down from Almighty God. And we could get together and vote to change all of that. And all we would do would be trying to oppose a God who has all power and all might and all authority. And tonight I want to say, and I hope you say with me, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's going to help us a whole lot in this world we're living in right now, if you'll understand that. You see, a lot of people who want to tell you, well, that I know the book says that, but you don't have to believe that anymore. We've come a little farther. We're a little more up to date now. We're a little more advanced than our forefathers were. We're evolving up. I'm telling you, we're degenerating down, if you want to know. From the very first man made, that wise man Adam that was smart enough to name every animal that the Lord brought before him to name them, he had the wisdom not only and the creative mind. You're talking about a good mind. He had a mind not only to know what they were, he named them and came up with them. You know, how long does it take parents to name one child? And sometimes they'll say one way and one way this, one way that, one way, you know, go this way, go that route. And even if we had to give every, what if you had to name all the animals, that would be something, much less come up with all those names. But you see, Adam was that man who was made in the very image of God. Somebody said, well, what happened? I'm telling you what happened. Sin entered into the picture, and death by sin. And death reigned. Like a king on a mighty throne, he reigned from all the way to Adam, and still is going to be that last enemy that's put away. But I want you to know there's one who came and conquered death. And there's one who came and conquered the grave. There's one who came and won the victory. And this one had in his mind and knew the details of what was necessary. He knew every sin you and I would ever commit. And he came, and for those offenses, he was delivered. And he accomplished what he came to do. And Jesus, the Son of God, saved us from our sins. In order to be that, he had to know all about us. Aren't you glad he knows you? Listen, he knew David. Even when did he know David? Well, he knew him when he was formed and fashioned in his mother's womb. He knew him in the sense he was written in his book a long time before that, because he was chosen. I believe David was chosen of the Lord, don't you? I believe tonight if we love the Lord, it's because he first loved us, and that's an evidence that he chose us. When did he do that? Before the very foundation of the world. God, who knows and has always known in his foreknowledge and his love for us, loved us and chose us. And that's the kind of God you have in order to be an electing, predestinating, justifying, calling, glorifying God. He had, in order to do all that was necessary for our salvation, he had to be all-knowing. Can you see that? If he wasn't all-knowing, well, he might have missed one. The foundation of God, stand assured, having this seal. What is it? The Lord knoweth them that are his. He's not surprised at who's his. He knows who they are. And he not only sees them from a distance, he is there when they're being fashioned in their mother's womb. That's how intimately he is there with us physically. He knows everything that's going on in our bodies. He knows what's going on today. He knows what's going on in the past. He knows everything in the future. And one day, when our bodies go back to the dust from whence they were taken, if the Lord tarries, he'll know where our dust is. You can cremate our bodies and put them in an urn, or take them and dump them from an airplane and scatter them across the face of this earth. There's not a particle of that body that the Lord doesn't know of one of his children. And one day he's going to gather together that body. Somebody said, you believe that? That he's going to gather together that body? Absolutely. He'll have no more trouble than he did the day he spoke this world into existence out of nothing, and the day he took the dust of the earth and made man and formed him and fashioned him in his own image. And then, in order to give him a helpmeet, he was able to go into man and pull from him a rib and form his wife. Somebody said, "You believe all that stuff?" Absolutely, I believe. I'd much rather believe that than the nonsense other people believe. It all just popped up in the man. You look at a man's eyeball and you look at a man's ear. It's a marvel to think that an ear can hear and an eye can see. Just something made out of chemicals and energy. And where would that come from? But I'm telling you, God designed that eye. And the one who designed the eye, as he says in the Psalms, can he not see? And the one who designed the ear, can he not hear? I'm telling you, he sees all and he hears all. He not only sees and hears what you do, he hears and sees what you think. And how many times did Jesus prove that? How many times did he come to his disciples and say, "What were you talking about along the way?" It wasn't because he didn't know. He was calling them out. When he looked for the little woman that reached out and touched the hem of his garment, it wasn't because he didn't know where she was. I believe he knew her before the very foundation of the world. But she thought she was hid, and she was there, and he desired her to be called out that she might give praise and honor and glory to God, who, when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, virtue flowed into her. And although all the physicians of this world couldn't help her, in a moment, in a second, he healed her of her issue. And she was made whole. And she just shook. Brethren, that all sounds wonderful as we read it in Scripture. But I'm telling you tonight, in the details of your life, that's the Lord with you. That's him with you. And with me. And with us. I don't think we're here tonight by chance. I don't believe it at all. This wasn't the way I'd have come. This isn't in my thoughts. Is it your thoughts? Is it your ways? Is this the way you would have chosen? Is this what you would be doing tonight if it was up to you by your own nature? Not according to Scripture. It's not things. We wouldn't be here praising God. We wouldn't be here talking about a God who has all power. We'd be trying to build ourselves up in some way because of the pride of our countenance. We may be out trying to get a little more of this world's goods or hold on to our health or do some other thing. But I'm telling you, for us to be here tonight to worship Him and honor Him and glorify Him gives Him, it is all as a result of the creating God that has made us not only the old man Adam, but the new creature that we are. He has worked in us that which we could not work in ourselves. He's known you, He's searched you, and He's known you. He's known you down sitting, He's known you uprising, and He understands our thoughts afar off. Have you thought about understanding your thoughts? You ever had a thought and don't know where it's coming from? How often do you have that happen? Wonder where that came from. Wonder why I thought that. I don't understand why I think like that. I understand why. Sometimes I go like, I don't understand why I acted that way. You ever felt like that? Well, it's because you thought that way. Then you can't understand why you thought that way. I'm telling you, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us. And when we talk about the intent of our hearts, I want to say this. There would not have been one of us that had one good thought or one good action or one good behavior if it weren't for His grace. And if it weren't for His power overruling us and coming in where somebody said he won't come in where he isn't invited. I'm telling you what, man by nature will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, and that's what we are by nature, will not seek after God. No man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'm telling, when God works that in your heart, that's a creation that comes only from God. And our thoughts would never be on anything. And the man's heart and imagination was what? Only what? Evil. How long? Continually. And that's where you and I, where we would have stayed. In the wages of sin. What does it say in Romans 5? It says this about us in Romans 5. And when we, verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died My goodness. He died for the ungodly. Who were we? The ungodly. Who did Christ die for? The ungodly. He didn't come to save righteous. He told those who felt they didn't need a physician, right? He said, I didn't come to save the righteous. Tonight we don't come here because we're righteous. We come here seeking to have a communion and fellowship with one that we are not deserving to have, but we come because He's made us accepted in the Beloved, and by faith we're trusting in what He has done for us. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. What were we when Christ died for us? But God commended His love toward us, which is why He came. And why Jesus came is because God loved us and sent His Son. And the Son loving us came. And in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wasn't because we'd do something down in the future. Matter of fact, if He hadn't done it for us, we would have never, ever had a desire to serve Him or follow Him. He goes on, He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Isn't that good news tonight? You're justified, how? By His blood. And I'm telling you, His blood was shed for His people and for the sins of His people. And He knew who they were and He knew them completely. And He knew every sin they'd ever commit. And when His blood was shed for His people, it washed them whiter than snow, removing their sins as far from them as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against them anymore. And you and I can count on that from the Word of God. What a peace we should have in that. We've been saved from the wrath through Him. Verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And oh, when I think about what it means for us today, aren't you thankful today Jesus lives? You know, He died, but he didn't stay dead, did He? Aren't you thankful He came forth from the grave? Aren't you thankful He took His place on the right hand of the Father in heaven? Aren't you thankful there at the throne of God, there's the Lamb of God seated at the right hand of the Father as our high priest making intercession for us? So tonight we can bow down on our knees as Brother Terry has done, and we can go express our feeble pleas unto the Lord. And knowing this, that though we may not know everything to pray for, Jesus knows. Doesn't that give you comfort that Jesus knows? And even when we pray amiss, He's faithful and just to give us those good things that we stand in need of. And when we don't even know what to say, sometimes if you've been there and you don't even know what to say, it's still a sweet hour of prayer, isn't it? Still a good place to be. Because even when you don't know what to pray, you have the Spirit of God making intercession for you with heart groanings that even at times cannot be uttered. Boy, the time really passed quickly tonight. I know we started a little late, but I'm not going to continue where you're at. But I do want to get just read a couple of verses if you'll hang with me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest or surrounded my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. And here's the part I want us to see. It's not only that He knows, He is actively involved. It says, and thou hast laid thine hand upon me. When did God lay His hand upon the life of His little children? Do you suppose God had His eye on the old persecuting Saul as He did all the things contrary to the very cause of Christ? Do you believe that the old Saul of Tarsus, that old enemy of the gospel, do you believe that God's love was there still for Saul? Do you believe that God, even while he was an enemy, do you believe God loved him? I do. I believe God knew when he was born. I believe God watched over him and his growth and his years as he came up. I believe God's hand providentially was upon him. He didn't cause him to do all the things that he did. That was the evil actions of an evil man, an evil mind. But I'm telling you, at the appointed time of the Father, the Lord took that old persecuting Saul and every experience that he'd ever had in his life, and he made him a preaching, praying Paul. And when he got finished with him, you know, a lot of what Paul talked to us about is old stuff that he had. He said, is there anybody who wants to brag? I got more to brag about than anybody else. And then when he laid out all that pedigree of all the stuff that he had done, do you suppose God didn't know that he was doing that? Oh, absolutely. Somebody said, well, why didn't the Lord take care of him earlier? Because God's mind's not like my mind, and God's ways not like my ways. God moves at times in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. There, God does it in His time and in His way, in His manner. And sometimes we wonder why God would wait until the latter years for someone to come. Why did He allow a thief to go his whole life as a thief and then see fit to change him as he died there on the cross? It appears that that's what happened. I don't pretend to know what really went on there in the full detail of it, but all I know, you had a man there cursing at the Son of God who turned and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm telling you, it looked like to me some heart work was done there right on the cross. Somebody said, why would the Lord do that? Well, maybe it is to show us that He works His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? And who are we to question God when He does what He does, how He does it? God does it right. That's all I know. And when we think about what we do, it's never right. I'm not near done with this, but I won't be if the Lord blesses me to take a lot longer. I want you to see, though, that not only does God know, but God has the power to intervene. God has the power to work His will and does work His will. He laid His hand on him. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? This tells us that God is everywhere present and He's nowhere absent. Not only does He know everything, He is everywhere. I love the verse that I can't explain, but I love it. I believe it. I love the verse that said, God inhabits eternity. I'm telling you, that's powerful. I can't get my full grips on it, but I love reading about it. The one who inhabiteth eternity, and you know who He dwells with here in this world? The humble and the contrite, the brokenhearted. Tonight we meet and have fellowship with the one who inhabits eternity. He knows everything, and He's everywhere present. Nowhere absent. We were talking about where our brethren were tonight. Some of them we kind of knew where they were. Some of them we thought we knew where they were. I'm telling you, God knows where every one of them is. And not only does He know it from a distance, He knows it up close and personal. A lot of comfort in that, isn't it, mamas and daddies? When they are out in the world and you wonder where they are and what's going on, and you feel so helpless, and sometimes you go like, I hope they're making the right decisions. I hope they're doing the right thing. I hope they're doing this. And you go like, what can I do about it? I'm telling you, we can get down on our knees and talk to the one who not only knows, but He can intervene. Isn't that a great consolation? A lot of comfort. A comfort for living, and certainly a comfort for dying. He says, and I love the language, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Some people think, well, I can go hide from God, and God won't know. Well, you might hide from mama, you might hide from daddy, you might hide from the preacher, you might hide from the church, but you'll never hide from the Lord. And listen, that's true for the preacher as well as the ones who sit in the pew. God knows everywhere we are all the time, and He's never not there. He inhabits eternity. Wherever we go, He's there, and He already knows before we get there all about it, and it should never be a consolation for us that, well, maybe God's not watching me. You know, it's like I heard one little cafeteria somewhere that had a little sign there about the apples. You could take them or something. I don't remember what it said, but God was watching the apples. It dealt on the conscience, so that these you know, it's like, oh, I know what it was. It was one of the stores that I've been to recently that said, God is watching over all the shoplifters. I mean, when you're in that store and you think about, well, am I going to steal something? You know, they may not watch you and may not see you, but I'm telling you, this store had an acknowledgement that you might fool us and you might go out the door, but we want you to know that God's eye is on you. I'm telling you, that can help you, can't it? I know one thing, when I knew my mama was watching me, it sure changed my behavior. And I knew when my daddy was watching me, it sure changed my behavior. And if I can keep in my mind, my little feeble, weak mind, that God is watching me, I think it ought to change, surely should change my behavior. When it doesn't, it's sure that I've forgotten that He's watching and He's with me. Now this is not, and I wasn't afraid of my mama and daddy hurting me. I wasn't afraid. I knew they could chase me and give me some short-term chastisement that wasn't pleasant for the moment, but I knew they would never do anything to harm me. I knew that even then they were doing it because they loved me. And I'm not afraid that the Lord is going to take me and cast me eternally away from Him, but I'm telling you, I walk in our trust in the fear of the Lord. I don't want to do anything to displease Him. Brethren, let's remember that. When you're in one of those places where compromise would be so easy, let's remember who's with us in that communion. And though you may feel outnumbered, like a whole crowd says this, and you're the only one standing by yourself to say the right thing, can I say this? If you're on the Lord's side, you're in the majority. Now, somebody said, y'all are becoming the minority. Never will. God's children, though there may be few of them, will never be the minority. Listen, if you're on the side, it's not about God getting on our side. It's us lining up and being on His side and standing for what He would have us to do. And you can stand boldly in that. Because this God can shut the mouths of lions. He can take you through a fiery furnace. He can open the Red Sea. He not only knows, He not only is everywhere present, He is all powerful. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. And if you keep reading Psalm 139, you'll see that's right there too. I love you, my brother. God bless you. 2 a.m.